This morning, we are working through a series on the book of Judges out of the Old Testament, but I want us first to go into, I'm going to give you a prelude here by looking at some verses out of Romans, but I want us to just follow my train of thought here a little bit, and that is this, that our righteousness... How do I explain that? Our righteousness, we're viewed as perfect by God, not by what we do, but by our faith in Jesus. Okay? We talk about that a lot here, that it's not what we do, but it is about our faith. And Paul is writing in Romans to the Jewish church in Rome. And he's focusing on the Old Testament prophets who they would have known, and who said that God would accept and love those who are not born of Jewish descent. So you gotta put this in context here. That the Jewish people thought in order to be accepted by God, you had to be born that way. Okay, that was the main focus, and there was a way for non-Jews to come in, but that was the main. And this truth that Paul was trying to teach, that it is through their faith that people can be accepted by God, this was a hard concept for them to wrap their brain around. And let's look at Romans 9, where Paul writes, What then shall we say? Question mark. That the Gentiles, non-Jews, who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it. A righteousness that is by faith. How did they not pursue righteousness? Because they weren't living according to the Jewish law. They weren't pursuing righteousness that way. Okay? But Israel, or the Jews, who pursued a law of righteousness, who did everything according to what they thought was the right way, has not attained it. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. What's a stumbling stone? The stumbling stone, you know what it is when you're walking a path through the woods or wherever, taking a stroll, and you're looking around, and there's a rock that's sticking up, and you stumble over it. You don't see it. The stumbling stone that the Jewish people were missing was Jesus. They didn't see it. It was so clear. It was right there. Oftentimes we miss it too. And our minds are focused on other stuff. We get sidetracked. The children of Israel were so focused on doing good their own way that they missed what God was doing when they sent Jesus. You and I are accepted by God. We are viewed as righteous people. I don't know about you, but when I look at myself, I do not see a righteous person. I see somebody who's struggling. Ask my wife. I mean, she can tell you. She'll vouch for this, man. But when we place our faith in Jesus, who died for those very failures that we experience, we are viewed as righteous by God. But this choice now, and this is all a backdrop to where we're going this morning. But this choice of coming to Jesus by faith, believing that he died and paid the price for our sin, this then sets us on a journey, and it sets us on a projection. And that journey begins through our faith in Jesus. And that journey is a journey of growing and maturing faith. In fact, I would title the sermon this morning, I said righteous faith, but actually a better title is growing and maturing faith. In other words, God, Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Our faith in Jesus is the beginning point, not the ending point. But it puts us on a journey and we begin to grow and mature. Ephesians 4:13, I love this verse. Paul's writing, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, and I love this last phrase, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Attaining to the whole measure. In other words, our faith in Jesus is just the beginning. The forgiveness of sin is just the beginning. There is a whole measure that is out there of what it means to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we pursue that, God will do that work in our life. And we will begin to experience that. And that's my heart for us as a church this morning. I want us to be a people that are pursuing a mature faith because there is so much more to our relationship with Jesus. As your faith increases, our eyes are continually opened what it means or open to what Jesus did for us, and it changes how we live life and how we respond to life. We talked in Sunday school this morning about attractive Christians, people who have allowed Jesus to change their lives, and we become attractive to people because we're loving people. We're responding to life differently. And the people you want to be around. You will never experience the full blessing of being a Jesus follower unless we set our hearts on growing and maturing in the faith. Why? Because God loves you too much to let you go through life without a full knowledge of His love for you. The song, "You Won't Relent Until You Have It All." God's not satisfied until He sees you growing. He's ever working and changing in our lives. It's not always easy. It's not always pleasant. But the reward is worth it. So this morning, as we look at the story of Gideon in Judges, and I want you to see how God transformed a weak faith guy into a mighty, faith-filled, obedient warrior. How God did a work in Gideon's life and how he was changed. You know the story of Gideon? You guys falling asleep already on me? Do you know the story of Gideon? Some of you do. Okay. And I know some of these Old Testament stories, man, I think everybody ought to know them. But then you think, man, if you haven't been raised in church or haven't had them at Sunday school, or maybe you're old enough you forgot whatever you were taught back then, it's easy to forget some of these stories. But, hey, just a little backdrop on Judges. Remember that faithfulness cycle we talked about? How the children of Israel, they began at peace with God, then they forgot the Lord, then they went into failure, then they faced difficulties, and then they repented, and then God's Spirit poured out, and there was a judge raised up and delivered them, and they were again at peace for a number of years. But Judges is just sort of this cycle, over and over again, the faithfulness cycle, and we begin the series of Judges here looking at that. The judges we've looked at, just as a reminder, so far are Othniel, the poster child judge, Ehud, the dude Eglon, I guess, ended up with a dagger in his stomach that he was a little chunky. Remember that one? Shamgar, we had one verse that was dedicated to him, and then last month, we looked at Deborah, a judge with wisdom and character. I love that story. Love it. And so this morning, we tackle Gideon. If you have your Bibles, Judges chapter 6, 7 and 8, I believe it is. But we're not going to get through the whole story this morning, but we are going to look at one aspect of it here. So the children of Israel, they were under the oppressive power of the Midianites. They were so oppressed in their own land that God had given them, by the way. They were so oppressed that they were living in caves. They were living in mountain shelters. The story goes that whenever they planted crops, and these crops begin to come up and grow and flourish, the Midianites would invade their country. They camped on their land. They stole their crops. They ruined them. And they brought their livestock in. They brought their tents. And in fact, the scripture says that when they came swarmed into their valley, it said it looked like a swarm of locusts. There was that many of the Midianites coming in and just sort of overrunning. Wouldn't that be depressing? You get your work, you know, you get this field growing nice, and then this enemy comes in and just robs it. That's a whole sermon in and of itself, but we're not this morning. Judges 6:6 says, Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. Ah, they finally got to the low point of the circle. And they said, all right, God, we need you. And that's where God wants you and I. We live life like, not impoverished, but we always live needing God, needing his power in our life. So, the first thing God did was he sent a prophet to let the children of Israel know that he had heard their cry and that they needed to turn from their false gods and start obeying God's commands. And even today, as Jesus followers, you know, we're called to be obedient to Jesus. And this is what disciples do, as we follow Jesus and live our lives for him. But before God rescued the people needed to know they need rescuing. Now, Lord willing, next Sunday, that's where we're going to go. We're going to look at these couple verses, and we're going to, I wanted to teach on them so much this morning, but I decided to wait because next Sunday we're going to have a communion service here. And if you haven't been a part of a Maranatha communion service, you know that it is a worship time. And so we're going to have a worship time, and I'm going to begin with some teaching out of this section, out of what the prophets told the children of Israel there when they cried out to the Lord. And so, really looking forward to next Sunday. Come with a heart of worship, and we're going to learn from the Lord. We're going to celebrate next Sunday as we have a baptism, and just really looking forward to that. So, be here next Sunday. So, Gideon was this young man. He was passionate, but his faith was weak. His passion was his call. But his faith to obey God was derailed by the past. It was derailed by his home life, his view of God, and his own feeling of inadequacy. Here's a guy who was passionate about following Jesus, but his life... No, I'm saying that. Obeying God. I said that wrong. He was passionate about obeying God, honoring God with his life. But life just, he didn't have the faith to overcome. Life had derailed him. In this story, somehow I hope we can see ourselves in some way, but also I want you to see a God who is patiently working in our lives to grow our faith. God wants us to experience that full measure of Jesus in our lives. And let's start this morning with an honest evaluation of our own lives as we look at the story of Gideon. The responses of a weak faith. The first one is this. Gideon, as we look at the story, was waiting for God to do something for us versus with us. The responses of a weak faith. And I'm going to read Gideon, Judges 6, starting in verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah and belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Now he was threshing, get that? He was threshing wheat in a wine press. So he had harvested some crops, probably at night, and was taking him in there and was doing this because he was afraid of the Midianites, right? Verse 12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now, I don't know about you, but if I had an angel of the Lord appear to me and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior," I'd have the faith that would move mountains, right? How many of you are thinking that? I kind of doubt it. Evaluate your own life. How many times has God confirmed things in your own life and your faith is still, you question it? Let's be real. Let's be honest. So, verse 13. "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" You get where he's at? He's angry. He's bitter. "Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told about us when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?'" So here's a young guy, fireball, saying, "Listen, come on. What about all these stories? How am I supposed to believe they're true when we are experiencing this? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midianites, of Midian." You know, as we look at the past, as we look at our past and what we have experienced in life, it can either create a boldness in our faith or it can cause us to get angry with God. Even in our own lives, we see times when God has moved and when the hand of God was so obvious. And then when we face difficulties, we begin to lash out at God and say, "God, where are you?" I don't know about you, but that's me. Man, I do that. Gideon's response, it's such a normal one. But in that response, you see a passion. You see a burden that God had placed on his heart. He knew the past. He was experiencing the plight. And he was asking, "Where are you, God?" You know, God places passions and burdens on our heart for a reason. And sometimes our passion and burdens, and we're wondering, why isn't everybody seeing this? That's because God has given you that passion and burden. And he's asking, what are you going to do with it? I'll give you one illustration. I'm so grateful for what Gina and Rachel are doing. Last Sunday we showed a video here about human trafficking. And you know, as I talk with Gina about this, there's a passion within her for this. It's driving her. And she's anxious for the church to get involved and get behind this and catch it. And I have to chuckle as I hear her, as I read her text and heard her talk about this. It was, man, she's passionate and she thinks everybody ought to be. I love it. God, she's acting on it. Think about it. What is passionate in your heart? Are you acting on it? All right, second one. Let's keep reading. The responses of weak faith. Evaluating our own weakness versus God's power. Verse 14. "The Lord said to him," Gideon, "and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?'" So the angel's saying, listen, the Lord's saying, "Go in the strength you have. Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon. I like how he says that. "Pardon me, my Lord." I'm going to use that. "Pardon me, God. Pardon me, my Lord." Gideon replied, "How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." In other words, he's no one of pedigree. The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." You know, again, when you see yourselves, what do you see? Do you see your past, your failures, your weaknesses, or do you see God in you? Do you see God in you? Think about that. Do you see God working through you? And this is not a you can do it motivation speech here. But God did not come into your life to leave you as you are. He came in to change you, to make you, and to make you into someone who is more like him, to be an aroma of Christ to other people. We have the very Spirit of God in us. So God wants us to set our minds on what God can do through us, not on our weaknesses. And I will tell you, it's a mindset change. Paul says, set your minds on the things of the Spirit. And it's God's power in you. So evaluating our own weaknesses, this is something a weak faith does. It says, look at ourselves versus seeing the power of God and seeing what God can do in you and through you. Third thing, moving quickly, needing a sign to overcome fear. Here we go, Gideon, verse 17. Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Pardon me, Gideon. Here we have Gideon, who was sitting with an angel of the Lord in front of him, talking to him, telling him to go, and he says, I need a sign. Sorry, the sign is not the problem, is it? What's the problem? Faith or fear? Fear. He was afraid. He didn't want to go. And it's not all bad to ask for a sign, by the way. There's times that we need to ask God, say, God, what's going on? But let's be honest with ourselves. What's in your heart? Is it really questioning, is this what God wants me to do? Or is it simply fear that's holding us back? Love the song we sing here, no longer a slave to fear. Yeah. Many times has fear kept us from speaking up, from engaging someone in their life, from giving money, from tithing. Because, oh no, what am I going to do? How am I going to pay this bill? You know, instead of looking and saying, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to go after it. Fear is a reality in our lives, but fear is overcome as our faith grows. Last one. That's really cool. Verse 22. I want you to see God's response here to Gideon. Verse 22, when Gideon realized he did this whole sign thing, I'm not going to take the time to read that. But when Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And what did that mean? When you see God face to face, what's that mean to him? He's going to die. He's going to die. You can't see God. Anyone, you're done. But the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. You're not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, the Lord is peace. And to this day, it stands at Ophrah of the Abiezrites. We may look at our own faith and we may say there's no hope. I can't be used by God. For that matter, I'll be surprised if I ever make it as a Christian. How many of you have thought that way? You know, I'll be good if I just make it to the end of my life still believing in Jesus. There's a couple honest people out here. But that's a reality. Being a Jesus follower is not for the faint of heart, is it? But we're missing the character of God here. God's grace was present even when Gideon's faith was weak. With patience, God was beginning the process of restoring Gideon's faith, of building it up. And this is what I want you to catch in this story, that God doesn't say, well, once you get to this level of faith, then I'm going to start using you. No, God says, I want to take you where you're at, and I'm going to begin the process of using life to build and restore your faith. It's a process that God does in our life, and he does it with patience. I love the gentleness of God. Gideon is saying, oh no, it's God. I've seen your face. God, I'm going to die. And God says, peace. I'm going to extend my hand of peace to you. Relax. It's okay. It's okay. It's God opening up his arms and saying, I got this. I got you here. It's okay. I'm going to do the work in your life. I'm going to do it. How many of you want that? How many of you want God just to begin changing you and working in your life and building up your faith? All right. So what happens when God renews our faith? As God renews our faith. And I think first we need to look at where weak faith comes from. And, weak faith, I'm not going to have time to break this or to elaborate on all this, but where does our weak faith come from? Listen, weak faith can come from just a lack of knowledge of God's Word. That's why spending time in the Word is so important, why we offer teaching opportunities here. Lack of understanding God's love for us. If you don't feel you're loved, how are you going to have faith in somebody who you don't think loves you or you don't feel it? Our past failures will derail faith. The responses of other people, that's probably a big one for me. When I see people that I thought were mighty Christians and then I see their responses and I'm like, wait a minute. It knocks my faith. How many of you have ever been hurt by another Christian? Man, it knocks your faith. The enemy wants nothing more than to destroy our faith. But for Gideon here, I want you to catch this. For Gideon, we get a glimpse of where his weak faith came from. And his weak faith, let me read 25 and 26. That same night, the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Understand, this was the way they did worship here, okay? By God's instruction. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole. What's an Asherah pole? It was a Canaanite idol of worship, okay? Now, whose were they? His father. Then build, verse 26, then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on top of this height, this mountain, and use the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down. Offer the second bull as a burnt offering. Now, I don't know about you, but as I looked at this, I begin to see a young man who was confused about God. Because we have a young man who grew up being taught the stories of God delivering his people out of Egypt. The stories of a mighty God. And that teaching would have come from his father, from his family. But at the same time, his father had idols, altars set up to false idols. Do you see the conflict that's happening here? And I was, as a dad, I was struck by this. I was like, man, here I am. I want my kids to know about Jesus. I want them to come to church. We want to bring our kids to church so they can learn about Jesus. But then how are we living life? What message are we sending to them? What message are you sending to the people you rub elbows with? The people at work, they know you go to church. You see, I see Gideon's faith being derailed because there was a mixed message all his life about who this God was. On one side, there was this God up there that was great, that was powerful, that did amazing things. And on the other side, they worshiped false gods. They didn't even worship this God. What was he going to do with that? You see, there's all kinds of things that attack our faith. So, as God renews our faith, we need to be evaluating What are the idols in our own lives? What are the things that we are allowing to dominate our relationship with God? And you know, I just think it's so cool here that here's Joash, Gideon's father, having this mixed signal thing going on. And then it's Gideon, his son, who goes in and tears down the altar. And by the way, the people came at him, they accused him, they wanted to stream up because he had done this. And it was Joash's dad that stood up and said, listen, why are you going to be the one to punish him? If Baal is real, let Baal punish him. And so Joash did defend his son, but it was his son that challenged the father. It was the son that challenged the father. To evaluate the idols in our own lives and tear them down, and we tear down these idols in our life by replacing them with choices that honor and worship God. And in the New Testament, we call this getting off the fence. Stop mixing the cold and hot water to where we become lukewarm in our relationship with Jesus. And then turning off that cold water and saying, man, I want the fire of God to be in my life. I want to make choices that honor God. I want to go after it. I want to live my life for Jesus and make decisions that honor him. I want it. You know, Gideon faced things when he made this choice. He had to stand up to the fear of what other people were going to say when he took a stand. And they accused him wrongly. He had to deal with all this stuff. He had to risk a relationship with his father, people he loved. He was tearing down his father's altar. He didn't know what was going to happen. In fact, his fear, he did it at night. So Gideon's faith, by the way, it was not magically restored. God didn't just say, you have faith and there it is. Wouldn't that be nice? I mean, that'd be great. You know, God, if I pray this prayer in this way, I'm going to get faith. No, that's not the way it works. God uses life to build our faith. And he was using Gideon's experiences. But Gideon was making small steps of obedience to God. He was making these small steps. And when God called Gideon to act, he was still timid. He was unsure. And he used this fleece to test whether this was really what God wanted. I don't have time to go into that in the story here, but when it was time to go up against the Midianites, God told Gideon that he had too many men for battle. Now, come on, guys, you understand this. There's never too many men, is there? The more the merrier. But Gideon, he rallied together 32,000 men to go fight the Midianites. But God said, Gideon, that's too many. And he went through a test and he said, listen, whoever is afraid to go home. Now understand, these guys are living in caves. They had been oppressed for years. They did not believe they could win the battle. 22,000 of the 32,000 went home. He was left with 10,000. And of the 10,000, God said, Gideon, that's still too many. And Gideon is saying, pardon me, my Lord. But God said, let them go down and drink. He said, they're going to drink two ways. They're going to get down and stick their face in the water, and the others are going to take their hands and cup it. And I forget now which was which. But anyhow, it's not important. Is the cup? Okay, it was the cup. Thank you. He said, whoever drinks this way, you keep them. Out of 10,000, 300. Gideon was told to go fight the battle with 300. In verse 10, I'm going to read that verse of chapter 7. I'm sorry. And he got the wrong verse written down here. No, I don't. I was in the wrong chapter. Pardon me. You guys awake yet? I'm not. I want you to hear God's response here, verse 10. Gideon, during the night, verse 9, that night the Lord said to Gideon, get up and go down against the camp because I'm going to give it into your hands. This was the night with 300. And then God said, if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying. This is the heart of God with our faith. He was given a task to do, but Gideon was still struggling on the inside with fear. And God said, listen, Gideon, you and your servant go down to the camp. They went down to the camp, and they overheard coming through the tent of two Midianites. The one woke up after having a dream, and the guy was scared because in the dream, the Israelites came in and destroyed the Midianites. Gideon did. And Gideon was sitting outside that tent and heard that. And he went back and he said, we can do this. I want you to see the heart of God renewing his faith and restoring his faith. It's God working in his life. God deals with us with patience. We don't have to throw up our hands and quit when we see ourselves struggling and failing. We keep going because God is patient with us and he wants to work with us. Gideon, he took his 300 men, surrounded the camp at night. They each had a... How would you guys like to go to battle? Where's my kids at? How would you like to go to battle with a trumpet, a torch, covered by an empty jar? That sounds like quite the battle. And at Gideon's signal, the 300, they surrounded the Midianites at night. At Gideon's signal, they broke the empty jar, allowing the torch to shine. They blew their trumpets, and they shouted, for the Lord and for Gideon. And the surprise attack, it was so effective, God had put the fear in the Midianites' hearts that they woke up, they burst in their tents, they grabbed their swords, and they started slaying each other while Gideon's men just stood there and held their ground. As the army, they began to flee, thinking they were under massive attack. Gideon rallied his men, and he pursued them, and he sent messengers out to other tribes and says, listen, come help, for we have got these guys on the run. And they pursued them, and they routed them out of their land. Gideon became a mighty man of faith. And I encourage you in the next week here, spend some time reading 6, 7, and 8 and see how Gideon transformed from a guy who was scared because of his past, because of his failures, didn't know if he could trust this God, to a man that went forward and fought the battle with mighty faith. And it was because of God's patience and work in his life that he was able to have that transformation. You know, with boldness, Gideon confronted other people groups as he made this sweep chasing the Midianites, people groups that didn't give him food, that didn't support his mission. He said, I'll be back and deal with you later. And he went past them. When he'd taken care of the Midianites, he came back. And I like this. To the people of Succoth, to the leaders who wouldn't feed them, he took them out into the desert, and he punished them by whipping them with thorns and briars. I love it. they deserved that. I just thought that was so cool. To the men of Peniel, they didn't make out so well, who also refused to help Gideon. He tore down their tower of safety and slayed them. But God had strengthened Gideon's faith. And I'm calling that righteous faith because it's a faith that God has enabling us to grow. It's a God faith in us. It's not us determining in our minds that I'm going to believe it and it's going to happen. It's a faith that God does in us, that we trust in Him and we act on it. You know, at the heart of righteous faith, we see it later on at the end of the story of Gideon. And worship team, you can come on up. After his great victories, the people came to Gideon and they said, "Man, we want you to be our ruler." And this was his response. "I will not rule over you, nor will my son rule over you. The Lord will rule over you." Gideon could have said, "Man, look at what God did through me. Man, I now have the pedigree. I now have the experience. I now have the knowledge. I have the faith. I'll rule you. You bet I will." No. Righteous faith said, "Listen, all that I want is for God to rule you." Now, did God use Gideon? Yes. Gideon was their judge until he died. And while he was their judge, the people served the Lord. But a righteous faith turns it right back to God. Say, "This is what God did. This is what God did." You know, God wants us to mature and grow in our knowledge and relationship of Him. He doesn't want you to stay the same. And He's going to extend a hand of peace to you. He's not going to beat you up. But He wants you to reach out and say, "Yeah, God, I want it too. God, I want to grow too. I want my faith to be strengthened. I want to have the faith to make choices that go against the flow of culture that honor you. I want to have faith that make choices that may cost me financially because I want to honor you with my money. And I'm going to give to those in need. I'm going to give to your work." You define, you know what's going on in your life. And again, our faith is evaluated when our faith begins to grow when we are honest with ourselves about how are we responding. Faith is a journey that we're different on different stages. We're not all at the same point. But God is there and He's offering to walk with us. He's offering to help us grow. He wants to get us to get to know Him more. So I think the question that we need to ask ourselves this morning, and that I ask you maybe, are you ready to take His hand that He's offering you and continue the journey of getting to know Jesus more and more? We're going to end by singing the song that we ended our worship time with, "You Won't Relent." By the way, I requested that song this morning because it ties in so well with what we're talking about here. God's not going to relent in pursuing you. The question is, will you respond and pursue God? Will you open up your heart and say, "God, I want you to pursue me. I want you to work."